Welcome to Phenomenal Woman. Join me as we share the success strategies of phenomenal women achieving extraordinary success around the globe. From the good, the bad, the ugly, and everything in between, this is Real Talk by Real Women. We share with you the highs and lows of their journey and give you honest insight on how you can navigate same with confidence, integrity, and gain a little inspiration. I'm your host, Janice Sutherland, leadership strategist, executive coach, and business consultant, working with organizations and individuals to turn their goals into actions. One of the advantages of doing Phenomenal Woman has been the opportunity I've had to meet the exceptional women and phenomenal women across the globe. And this week is no exception when I'm speaking to Holly-Anne Martin, who is based in Western Australia. She is the founder and managing director of an organisation called Safe for Kids, which deals with sexual abuse education within the school, within a variety of school settings. Now, Holly-Anne's approach is very unique in that it's underpinned by a whole community focus, which means that everybody involved in the community is involved in looking out for the children. So that's engaging school staff, parents, carers, the police, health workers, a totally holistic approach to it. Her emphasis centres on developing a language and a culture of safety for children and adults alike by improving communication and highlighting and broadening the networks available to children when they're feeling unsafe. The sustained delivery of these programs is the key to creating a positive influence for both individuals and community behaviour. Now, Holly-Anne has delivered child protection education within the Western Australian region for an extensive amount of time and travelled in the remote Indigenous communities of Northern Western Australia, Queensland and Northern Territory, to name but a few. She was also a member of Operation Slatter, a Western Australian police operation established to gather intelligence on child sexual abuse in remote areas in the Kimberley region of Western Australia. She's been invited to present her ideas to protective behaviour practitioners in the United Kingdom. And she's really a woman who's put her money where her mouth is, in that she has started this organisation by actually mortgaging her home and really believes in the quest to help children all over the world to feel safe. So, as I said, I'm delighted this week to speak with Holly-Anne Martin. So hi, Holly-Anne, and welcome to this week's edition of Phenomenal Woman. I'm delighted to have you here. So I would have given a short.
I'm really thrilled to be with you.
Thank you. I would have given a short bio at the top of the program, but I wonder if you can tell us a little bit more, tell the audience a little bit more about your humble beginnings and where you come from.
I started my working career as a teacher assistant. In special schools, working with children with special needs. And I was at a school where a volunteer bus aide was unfortunately sexually abusing children on the bus the year before I started at the school. So we were probably one of the first schools in Western Australia trained in abuse prevention education. And teachers were always too scared to teach it to children. So for 25 years, I'd been given the role to, they'd say, oh, Holly, you do it better than me, sort of thing. So in 2007, here in Western Australia, we had a terrible case of sexual abuse in Aboriginal communities. So in my long service leave, which is in Australia, we get, once you've worked for 10 years, you get 3 months paid holiday.
Oh, so wow.
In my paid, okay. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Okay.
Everybody will be jealous now.
So
I went up in my holiday to volunteer in two remote communities, and then from there just saw a huge need for resources and teaching packages and things like that to help both parents and teachers talk to children about sexual abuse. So I quit my job, took a $150,000 loan out of my home, and have been doing it full-time since 2010.
Wow.
Sorry, 2007.
Wow. So you just saw the need, quit the job, took a loan.
Basically, yeah.
Fantastic.
That's, It's probably blown out to more like 250,000 now. But, you know, people say, oh, Holly, it's such a huge gamble. But when you believe in something, it's not a gamble. And I know eventually I'll get my money back. But, you know, we've had so many amazing stories of where the program has made a difference and things like that. So I met a wonderful man about 8 years ago now, and he actually had a very high profile job, and he came home one day and I was crying my eyes out. Something really bad had happened in one of these remote communities. So he basically quit his job and has been working with me now for the last 5 years, which sometimes we're the total opposite. So he does all the business management boring stuff, and I get to do all the face-to-face sitting on the ground with the children, delivering it all over Australia. And hopefully next year I'm going to America to speak at hopefully two conferences.
Fantastic.
So it would be really good to crack both the US market and the UK market, because Australia is a big country, but we're very small in population.
Right.
And, you know, sexual abuse of children is happening right across the world. So our resources are quite unique, and there isn't anything like what we do and the way that we do it. So, yeah, basically we've produced some online lessons now so that our program can be global and at this stage in all English-speaking countries.
Yeah.
But eventually, you know, we'd love to see our resources translated into other languages, especially Chinese, well, Mandarin.
Yeah.
Because the problem's just as big there. They just don't have the tools to be able to talk about it with children.
So we were talking off air a little bit about what you do. So could you explain to our listeners a little bit more about what Safe for Kids does?
So it's a bottom-up approach to teach sexual abuse prevention to children,
right,
starting from the age of 3 years of age. So I've written a curriculum for childcare centres to be able to, for an 18-year-old educator to deliver the program to three-year-olds.
Wow.
And when I go into communities, I work with the children, but also train parents, teachers, everybody in the community, because everybody needs to know what to do if a child came to them. I mean, when we were talking earlier, I think you mentioned that you're a grandmother.
Yes.
And as a grandmother, you know, would you know what to say if one of your grandchildren came and said, Nan, the boy next door, you know, touched my penis or touched my vagina?
Yeah.
You'd go, oh, kill him, you know. And yet that's what stops children from telling, because they love their parents or their grandparents so much. So we've created resources and tools to be able to educate adults in how to deal with it.
Yeah.
And also give children really clear messages about no one's allowed to touch your private parts. We help them set up a safety team of five adults that they can go to. So it's a big whole program.
Yeah.
And sometimes adults overthink it, but I would stand in front of 4,500 children a year across Australia.
Right.
And they just get it.
Yeah.
They don't overthink it. And, you know, as adults, you've had your 25 or 35 years worth of experience, whereas a six-year-old, you give them a rule, that's the rule. Nobody breaks the rule.
Yeah.
So it's not frightening for them. And so I've written two parent handbooks and four children's books, soon to be five children's books. Two of them are to help adults talk to children about pornography. One of the other ones is to help talk about child-to-child sexual abuse, because that's on the increase because of children's pornography.
But it's a very challenging work you do. Just from the sound of it, I can't get my head round it as we're speaking. But what's the most satisfying challenge, Hallion, you've had to overcome?
To be honest, I'm dyslexic, so you know, to be able to write, you know, these lesson plans and children's books and things like that. I'm fortunate. My husband and I are total opposites. I'm little Miss She'll Be Right. Nothing fazes me and it'll just happen.
Yeah.
Whereas he's really total opposite, nitpicks everything. And so he does all my editing, fortunately, and puts the commas and things in the right places and stuff like that. But it's hilarious because I wish I could bump into my English teacher from when I was in high school because of my dyslexia, I was thrown out of English every day.
Wow.
For talking, because I knew if I, would talk, she would throw me out and then I didn't have to deal with it. So, it would be such a hoot to meet her now and go, look here, I've written all of these books. That's pretty amazing.
That's phenomenal. So has there been a time where you've confronted a challenge and things have gone horribly wrong? And so how do you, and I'm assuming the work you're in, there's lots of things can go wrong. So how do you deal with those situations and try and regain your confidence?
Probably the biggest challenge that I've faced was in my business, actually. Before I had my husband, I was actually I went into business with a graphic designer and it went horribly wrong. I was very naive and, I know why I do what I do and just think the best of everybody and it's never going to be about the money for me, but it was about the money for her. And so in the end her business went bankrupt and then I ended up having to it cost me $70,000 in lawyer's fees to buy my IP back and stuff like that. I always get when friends say that they're going into a joint venture with other people, I always get a bit nervous about that and say, make sure you have all the processes and everything in. You have to have all the legal stuff in place because it can go horribly wrong. And if anybody can learn from my mistakes, I would really prefer them to do that because, you think that you have the, shared meaning and you're on the same page, but sometimes you're not and it can be very costly.
Yeah. So how did you bounce back from that? Because that is a dent. And as you said, it costs a lot of money for something you're very proud and passionate about. So how did you regain your confidence to move forward?
To be honest, it was a big learning curve for me, but it just proved to me, it made me realise just how resilient I was. Up until then, I didn't really, I'm a teacher assistant. What do I know about publishing and importing books from China and all of this stuff? Yeah. And, my husband often says, Holly, you're the most resilient person I've ever I've come across. I feel like, those clowns that you punch them in the face and they just spring back? That's what I visioned myself. It was just one knock after another knock. And, I just, because I believe in this program so much and I really believe that basically this was why I was put on the earth. To keep kids safe. And, that's what kept me going is, I know how to do it. I know how to teach it to children. They understand it. It's not frightening for them. It's empowering for them. And, when I go out to these remote communities, I've got these gorgeous little Aboriginal kids with these big brown eyes looking up at me. That's why I do what I do, sort of thing. I mean, it's not only Aboriginal communities I work in. I work right across Australia. But those communities are really quite special to get invited. You have to be invited into them,
right?
Sort of thing. And, that's pretty amazing.
Well, I can hear the passion. I can hear the passion as you talk about it, and I totally empathise with what you're saying. So, Holly Ann, what has been your biggest career triumph so far?
Writing the books, I think.
Okay.
And the lesson plans. My goal so far, we've sold about 150 of these kits. They come in huge box with the lesson plans and the children's books that I've written and plus other children's books and things like that. My goal for this year is to sell 300 of them, and we're having the program evaluated this year, in 2018. So we already know that it works, but, governments, show me the evidence, show me the evidence.
Yeah.
The hardest thing is, how do you get evidence on something that hasn't happened. How
right.
I will never know
yes.
how many children were not sexually abused
yes.
because of my program. You yeah. can't measure something that hasn't happened.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we're working with somebody that's really so what we're going to do is trial it in childcare centres.
Right.
And it'll basically be we will have a questionnaire for educators that teach mm-hmm. the children,
mm-hmm.
a questionnaire for parents, and then also do a pre and post test on the children to see
right.
how much they've retained. And, you
right.
know, we're talking about 3 and 4-year-olds. So,
yes.
again, it's groundbreaking. There's been nothing ever done that we can find worldwide at this level.
So how does it feel to know that you're going to be, I mean, impacting so many lives, changing lives and doing groundbreaking work?
Humbling, very humbling, to be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just, it's surreal. It's, yeah, it, to be honest, words fail me because, you know, the impact, you know, there is nothing more important
yeah.
than keeping children safe, I don't
yeah.
think.
Yeah.
And until education departments across the world appreciate this, I think, you know, I'm not sure what it's like where you are, but here
yeah.
in Australia, you know, they're testing the children all the time on maths
yes.
and science and
yes.
stuff like that.
Yes.
If a child doesn't feel safe, then how can they possibly learn?
Right.
So our program isn't just about sexual abuse. It's just a good life skills program. Mm. So it's a bullying prevention program. It's
yeah.
a suicide prevention program.
Yeah.
It's a drug prevention program. You know, it's domestic violence program
yeah.
because,
yeah. Yeah.
you know, even from the age of 3, we're teaching consent and respect and,
yeah.
you know, what and human rights. I mean, nobody talks to 3-year-olds about
yes.
the UN
yes.
rights of the child, but we need to.
Yes.
So, you know, it is a bullying program and all of those programs. And, I mean, I've had parents, mums come up after a workshop and going, holy bugger the kids, I need this in my life. Because one of the things that we teach children is to listen to their bodies.
Yes.
And their bodies will give them early warning signs if they feel unsafe.
Yeah.
You know, off air we were talking about domestic violence
yes,
and things like
yes,
that.
Yes.
Women that live in domestic violence situations, they get these body signals
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
They don't listen to them.
Yeah, yeah.
So the program's just a holistic life skills program.
Right.
And it really needs to be in every school. So that's my goal.
Marvellous, marvellous, marvellous. Now, we talked about the challenge you had with an earlier partnership. So, but if you could go back and change one thing, what would it be and why?
It would be to trust my gut. You know, I teach the children, listen to
yes.
your body signals,
yes.
things like that. And there were signs when it was, before it got to the bad situation, there were signs
yeah.
and I just didn't listen to my
yeah.
to my early warning signs. And
yeah.
there's a saying actually about you teach best the, I can't remember the exact words, but basically you teach best the lessons you need to learn yourself.
Yes, yes.
And so, you know, I need to trust that gut
yeah,
intuition
yeah.
and stuff like that because yeah, it doesn't yeah. let you down.
Because yeah. I think in those situations we don't want to think we have been wrong because we've probably taken so much care to make sure we've got it right.
Mm.
You know, thinking that we may have got it wrong and our instinct wasn't that brilliant that at that point. Sometimes you just don't want to face it. So I totally understand what you're saying. Now, you touched on earlier, a little bit earlier, about a saying. So share this, Holly Ann, a success quote or mantra that you use and why it's meaningful for you.
I've got it written on my wall. The world. No, I can't. The world needs the gift only I have, basically. So, you know, people say, Holly, why does your program work? And, excuse my language, but children are the best bullshit detectors.
Yeah.
If teachers are standing up in front of children saying, we all have the right to feel safe all the time.
Yeah.
But they've just been screaming at the children 2 minutes earlier.
Yeah.
Then they're not talking their walk sort of thing.
Yes,
so,
yes, yes.
I think... you know, people that the way that I teach it is what resonates. One of the things that I'm really proud of is, and it's really very unique, I've done 46 workshops now with solely Aboriginal men in remote communities talking about child abuse and pornography and things like that, which is unheard of.
Yes.
Culturally, women and men don't talk about things like this.
Yeah.
But the men say, Holly, we like you because you tell a straight way. You don't bullshit us.
Yeah.
And they're our kids too.
Yeah.
And we need to step up. And quite often men are left out of, you know, they leave it to the women. It's not a woman's problem. It's like DV. It's not a woman's problem. It's a man's problem.
Yeah.
And it's not only, you know, women that are living domestic violence either.
Yeah.
But, you know, and women do abuse children as well, but the majority is male. And so, you know, they're ready to hear it, and we need to work with the whole community on keeping kids safe.
And I think I think the fact that they're ready to hear it is half the battle.
Yes.
You know, because at least they're part way there, because you need someone receptive to actually take all the knowledge in. So, Holly Ann, you talked about you've written kids' books, which is fantastic. But what has been a book that's influenced you throughout your journey, and why do you choose it? What's your learning?
To be honest, I was dreading that question because I'm dyslexic. I don't tend to read a lot.
Yes, audiobook.
Well, no, I do. Because I'm travelling, sometimes I'll drive for 6 hours straight on gravel out to these remote communities. So I do have audiobooks, but usually they're soppy, girly, Mr. Darcy type stuff.
Hey, nothing wrong with that.
Because otherwise I would just read books about child abuse. You know, I did read a book called The Boy With No Name. It was a trilogy, and horrible. So my husband's banned me from reading. He said, Holly, you need to escape. So no books about work.
Yeah.
I don't read any books about business or anything like that, unfortunately.
Okay. not to worry, but you do the audio and you do the escapism, and that, I think, even that has a piece to learn from it, because sometimes we do have to switch off.
Yes.
especially if we're in roles that are maybe, you know, quite taxing or emotionally, you know, we have to take some time to switch off, be that music, audio books or escapism. So more power to you, Holly Ann. So looking back a little bit further, I don't think you embarked on going into the field you're on when you're a teenager. But looking back, what advice would you give your teenage self now?
To back yourself.
Yeah.
To back yourself. Know your purpose.
Yeah.
And don't let anybody ever tell you can't, because you bloody well can.
Yeah.
You know, people saying, oh, you can't talk to men, and I can.
Yeah.
You know, I'm dyslexic, so, you know, my English teacher told me I couldn't write. Yeah. Well, I can.
Yeah.
You know, I totally failed English, and one of my parents' books, our Department for Child Protection have bought over 7,000 of them, one for every foster carer in our state.
Wow.
So, you know, officially I can say I'm a best-selling author, because you only have to sell 2,000 books in Australia to get a payment.
Take it anywhere you can.
So, you know, and that's what I'd love to get that across to all young women. One of the things that I really fear now is for young women. I would not want to be a teenager nowadays with social media and because of the pornography and all of this stuff. You know, I was horrendously bullied at school, but at least I got to go home, whereas nowadays it's 24/7. You know, young girls think that they have to look a certain way, and you know, if I could talk to all young women, I'd say, you know, high school is such a small part of your life in the big scheme of things.
Yes.
But when you're in it, it's your
everything.
Life.
Yeah.
When you look back at people that you went to you went to school with, you know, I mean, I don't see anybody that I went to school with. And, you know, the people that were really popular at school basically, you know, have done nothing, and yet I was a nobody.
That, I think that was probably their highlight, you know, that was a highlight of their life at that point. Yeah, so to be top of the school, but there are more, as you said, there are much more things out there, much more important things. And this isn't the be all and end all, because you know you're probably having less than a fifth of your life at that point at school, because you know you have longevity. But if you could choose your own mentor, who would it be and why?
I would really love to find a mentor to help me with social media, because you know, that's the way a mainstream media don't want to talk about my subject.
Yeah.
Here in Australia, we've just had a Royal Commission into the sexual abuse of children in institutions like the churches and things like that.
Yes.
So you would think that mainstream media would be all over it and want to interview me up the wazoo. Not happening.
Right.
So, you know, if I could find a mentor that would help me with Facebook ads and stuff like that, I really jump at the chance. But I follow lots of people on social media, but I haven't found anybody that I've gone, right, I need to work with that person.
Maybe after someone hears this interview, they'll jump at the chance to work with you, Holly Ann. Here's hoping. So we can
fingers crossed.
So we're coming to the end of the questions. But what are the three things you've learned about yourself during your career?
That I'm resilient.
Yeah.
That I'll give anything a go. You know, I've got a CD with 14 child protection songs on, and I get my stuff printed in China, and so I went to China to make sure the factories had good work practice and stuff like that.
Wow.
So I'm just trying to think of a third thing that I've learned. And to back myself
fabulous. Be your own cheerleader. Be your own
Basically,
cheerleader.
Yeah,
and financier. So it's a very, very busy life, and as we said, you know, it can be very emotional and quite taxing. But what are the three key piece of advice you'd have for listeners for maintaining a work-life balance, making sure you don't burn out?
I'm really, really, because I hear so many horrible stories, I'm really aware of vicarious trauma. So I see a lady every few months that does kinesiology, and some people think it's hocus pocus, but I don't care. I literally go there and I cry for 3 hours, and she balances me, and I come away feeling 10 kilos lighter and able to go on again. So, you know, doing whatever self-care that you need to do that. My husband and I do rock and roll dancing.
Okay.
And rock and roll dancing is a great outlet that I really enjoy. So I'd had let that slip, and thanks to Dee and her detox, I have committed to dancing more. So that's a really great thing. And just trying to make time for myself and my husband, because even though we work together, I work away a lot. So having to reconnect with him more as well, to be honest, I don't tell him a lot of the stuff that I come across, because, you know, I chose to work in this field. He married his field. So I worry about him and vicarious trauma too. Spending quality time with him is something that is really important
to me as well. And I'm really glad you said about self-care then, because as women we often feel very guilty about putting ourselves first or actually taking some time out just for ourselves. And I always say that self-care is not self-indulgence, it's self-preservation. Because we don't have that space to break out a little bit, it just gets a little. It can get messy. It could get messy. So,
yes,
what?
Definitely.
So, Holly-Ann, what's your definition of success?
Cracking the US market.
Yes.
having my resources used. I have taught my program in Cambodia and in Indonesia.
Right.
And Mexico. Okay. But yeah, having it in more global would be success for me. That's what I would class as success. Excellent. You know, the US, the UK, and where you live.
So my last question. What does it mean to be your own hero?
I was dreading that question too because
I've been asking a lot of dreadful questions today.
No, it's I don't, you know, people say, you know, it's such a big risk, everything that you've done and things like that, but I don't see it as, you know, I just do my bit.
Yeah.
And I think if everybody did their bit, then children would be safe. So I don't see it's very extraordinary what I've done. I really don't know how to answer that. I'm sorry.
No worries. Well, I think you're a heroine anyway, so I'm there for you. I'm there for you. So that was definitely my last question, Holly-Ann. And you know, I've really, you know, I love the passion I've heard today, and it's phenomenal when someone when you hear somebody enjoying so much what they do, because too often or not we can be miserable in our 9-to-5, and as much as it's quite taxing emotionally for you and some of the things you see and some things you have to deal with, you're so genuinely passionate about it. It's just wonderful to hear. So if anybody wants to get in touch with you, our listeners want to get in touch with you, how can they do that? How can they connect with you?
I have a Facebook page called Safe, the number 4 Kids,
okay.
Where I'm always sharing research, free resources for parents, lots and lots of free information, or on my website, which is just saferkids.com.au. We're just about to upgrade our website because it's a bit dull at the moment, but all of my resources and everything's on there. Like I've got a parent workshop, an online parent workshop and things like that. So, just through my website.
Excellent. Well, that was definitely my last question, Holly-Ann, and it's been fabulous speaking to you. Thank you so much for taking time out to spend with us today.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome.
Since recording this episode, registration for my confidence building program, Warrior, has now opened. If you'd like some support in gaining clarity, identifying your goals in life, the courage to pursue what you desire, and the confidence to live the life you deserve, head over to my webpage, janicesutherland.com, to register for the next intake. Better yet, if you register your interest before the 10th of March and mention that you heard of the Warrior Program via the podcast, then I'll personally have a one-to-one Warrior session with you. It's not something I normally do, but I'm so excited to share as I know what a difference it can make to your life. So head over to my website, janicesutherland.com. It won't cost you anything, but the benefit to your confidence will be priceless. It's my pleasure, as always, to show up here every week and connect with like-minded women who want to live their life to its fullest and be empowered to take their career to the next level. I do hope you enjoyed this edition of Phenomenal Woman. And if you like what you heard, make sure you share with the phenomenal women that you know. You can connect with me via janicesutherland.com and on all social media platforms. Links are in the show notes. Remember, you are the author of your own story. You control the narrative, and you have the power to give your life story a happy ending, so own it. Until next time.